Let's open again to John 13. John chapter 13. And I know how it is after you eat. I know what it's like. You get belly full, and all your blood goes down there, start digesting, your eyelids get heavy. So I got a, Gary told me Wednesday night, I said, take that message up there to Franklin and preach it. It's short and sweet. So I got a short message for you. There in verse 1, John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I've titled this message, Having Loved His Own. Now back over here in verse 37, look what our Savior did. It says in John 12, 37, excuse me. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And see, back up in verse 36, I'm getting ahead of myself. But while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. And though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now our Lord Jesus hid himself from a multitude of people. Here's all these Jews, all these miracles that he had performed. And he had hid himself from them. And you don't find anyone crying after him, anyone desiring him, anyone asking where he went, anyone mourning because he left and went and hid himself from him. Where's he at? I want to find him. I want to go where he's at. Nobody did that. But what our Savior does here in John 13 through verse chapter 17, he takes his 11 disciples after Judas leaves, and he enters into a sweet, sweet communion with them and reveals himself to them and shows him, his loved ones, his own heart of love for them, and he gives them a great and glorious revelation, not only of himself, but of his position before God, their position, and their privileges that they have. And what we see here in our Lord Jesus washing these disciples' feet and all the things he says to them, we see where our Lord truly said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. And so look here in verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now this is what I want us to see. We won't talk about the Passover here, the hour feast before, but it says, Jesus knew that his hour was come. Many, many times down through our Lord's life, he mentioned his hour. His hour. My hour is not yet come. Once they want to make him a king, it's not my hour. How many times did he talk about his hour? And here his hour has come. And this hour is talking about his death, talking about his suffering, the hour of his humiliation, the hour of his rejection, the hour of his crucifixion, the hour of him going under the justice of God, the hour of him bearing the wrath of God. His time, he knew that his hour was come. He knew it. Now, beloved, our Lord Jesus is the only one, only person in this world who has ever, only one who ever, nothing ever took him by surprise. Nothing, not one person ever took him by surprise. When he looked at his disciples, he knew exactly what was in their hearts. When he looked at his enemies, he knew what was in their hearts. It didn't surprise him that he was hated. It didn't surprise him that he's going to the cross. Nothing surprised. When Simon Peter was going to betray him, our Lord told him he was going to do it before he ever done it. Simon didn't know he was going to do it and swore him down that he wouldn't. So nothing ever took our Lord Jesus by surprise. He wasn't taken by surprise by any one person. He wasn't taken by surprise by any one event that ever took place. And it says here, Jesus knowing. Look down in verse 3. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. See, our Lord Jesus Christ being God, he knew all things from the beginning. Look in John 18, verse 4. John 18, verse 4. Our Lord knew. He knew that they were going to come and get him, where they'd come and when they would be there. And then it says in verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Our Lord Jesus knew everything. He knew when the men were coming, knew why they were coming for. He knew what they was going to do to him in the trial, and in Pilate's hall, and before Herod's hall, and before Pilate. He knew. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew that his hour was come. The hour that he came into this world to fulfill. The hour that he came into this world to come to the end of it. Now look back over, it says, not only did he know the hour that was come upon him, but that he should depart out of this world. And that's what we say often, you know, boy, it would be wonderful to leave this world. And that's what this is saying. That's exactly what this means, that he should depart, that he should leave this world. Leave this world and go back, and what does it say? Unto the Father. And that's what it means. It means depart out of this world means to speak of death. And you know, the Apostle Paul says, the time of my departure, the time of my departure is at hand. And you're going to go home this afternoon, and when you get in the airport there, the first thing you're going to do is look to see if your departure flight's on time. You're going to depart here and go back to your world. You're going to depart. And that's what we're going to do one day. And that's what our Savior said. My departure, I'm fixing to leave here. My departure, I'm going to leave this world. And beloved, one of these days, we're going to be able to depart and leave this world. And it says here, out of this world, out of this world. Notice how it says this world. This world is not a good world. This world's a sinful world. This world wasn't always like it is. But look what our Savior said in John 9:39. Talking about this world. This world. Depart out of this world. This world must have been a terrible place to our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a terrible place for us. God's people have always looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. If they'd been mindful of where they come from, they'd had opportunity to return. But we're looking. We don't have a continuing city here. We're looking. And that's what our Lord said here in John 9:39. Talking about this world. And our Lord said, for judgment I am come into this world. This world. That they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And then over in John 12:25, talking about, this is the reason I came into this world, that those who see might be made blind, and that those that are blind might be able to see. He makes the judgment about that. In John 12:25, our Savior said this, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world, shall keep it unto eternal life. Now, beloved, our Lord said He's going to depart out of this world. Thank God this world isn't the only world we had to live in. It'd be awful to have to not know that you had a place to live other than just this world. This world. When I was lost, I didn't like it. The world was, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how's the world treating you? And I said, the world never, ever been good to me. When I was lost, the world wasn't good to me. The world ain't never been good to me. The world hates. The world as we know it, beloved, is not good. It's not. There's no loyalty in it. There's no principles in it. There's no scruple in it. There's no integrity in it. There's nothing righteous about it. It's just a dog eat dog, covetous, greedy, materialistic outfit. And our Lord said, I'm going to depart out of this world where there's hatred and animosity. I'm going to depart out of this world where there's malice and envy. I'm going to depart out of this world and go back to my Father. And beloved, one of these days, we'll get to depart out of this world. And then he says, out of this world, unto the Father. That's the destination, unto the Father. Oh my, it's one thing to leave this world, but not everybody gets to go to the Father. But all our Lord's going back unto the Father, and that's where you and I'll go, back unto the Father. And then look what he says here. That he should depart out of this world, knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own. I love that. His own. His own. He loved his own. Didn't say he loved it. He loved his own. Paul said, you're not your own. You're bought with the Christ. You see, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here our Savior is revealing his love for his own, for his elect, for his blessed people. And he said, having loved his own. There's 12 people there. And out of those 12 that's there, there's only 11 of them that he loves. And there's 11 men there. And then all of those that was before and all of those that will follow after, having loved His own. How were they His own? Well, first of all, they're His own by the Father's eternal election. That's how we become His. Father chose us. And He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He gave us grace in Christ before the foundation of the world. He loved us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us. He hath chosen us, loved us, elected us, and that's why Christ having loved His own. My Father gave them me, our Lord Jesus said. And then secondly, we're His own by the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us. He shed His blood for us, laid down His life for us, went unto death for us. That's what this hour is all about. He's having loved His own. What was the price for us to be set free? What was the price for us to be released from the bondage of our sin? What was the price for God's justice to let us go and let us go free? It was the blood, the death, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Colossians chapter 1, just a moment. You know, if our Lord said, I'm the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes it from me. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. And here it says in verse 12, Colossians 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, saved us, wretched and got a hold of us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now watch this. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now redemption, beloved, is, here we are, we're slaves. Slaves to sin, held in bondage by the justice of God who refuses to let us go. Satan's not the one who's got the power to keep us. Christ defeated him. People say that he redeemed us from, he saved us, delivered us out of the power of darkness. But it was God's justice that said, the soul that it sinneth, it shall die. And that has never changed. That never will change. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And I sinned. I not only sinned in my father Adam, but I sinned in myself. Now I've got to die for my sin. I've got to be punished for my sin. And before I can be set free from my sin, and God's justice will say, He's free, I'll let Him go, then I've got to suffer the penalty due my sin. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin, which is His own death, His own blood. And when our Lord Jesus Christ took our sins in His own body on the tree, when He bore the justice and wrath of God and satisfied God's justice, His blood, He entered into the presence of God with His own blood, entered into the holiest of holies, and now because that blood there, we have redemption through that blood. That means we're bought and paid for. Now justice says, let Him go free. And when it says the forgiveness of sins, that means the sins are removed. They're completely gone. God... You know, He said, their sins and iniquities, I'll remember them no more. You know why I don't remember them anymore? Because we don't have them anymore. I've not got by with one sin. My sins have been paid for. That's why I don't have to pay for them. Christ redeemed me. He paid the price, which was His own death, for my sin. That's why I don't have to pay for them. I do not have to answer for my sin. People say all the time, you hear people say, boy, if the Lord catches you, comes and catches you with one sin, you'll be left behind. Well, I'll tell you this, if Christ paid for all of them but one, I'm a gone Jesse. He had to buy all of them, pay for me entirely and everything about me, or I'm still in bondage. There's no middle ground. And having loved His own, He loved the church and gave Himself for it. And all beloved, gave His life for us. And then thirdly, we're His. That's why He says, you know, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. That means that they're removed, gone, not there anymore. And then it says not only that, but look over here what else He says. Having loved His own, we're His own by eternal election, We're all His own by redemption, by price that He paid. And when He paid for something, He gets it. There's people that our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed, shed His blood for, died for, bore their sins for, that ain't never been born yet. But I guarantee you that when they are born, when it pleases God, every single one of them will hear the gospel and come to Christ. And they ain't been born yet. When He died for my sins and redeemed me, I wasn't born yet. Redemption was accomplished 2,000 years ago on Calvary. That means that our salvation is entirely outside of ourselves. It's something accomplished for us. And I thank God for that. And then thirdly, we hear it's by the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I mean. Those who Christ has redeemed, the Holy Spirit's going to go. And He says, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. Huh? And boy, and I know them, and they know me. When we hear His voice, we'll say, that's the shepherd. I hear that voice, and here we come. Here we come. And we're born of except a man be born of water and the Spirit. He can't see the kingdom of God, much less get in it. And the Spirit comes and regenerates us, and we hear that call, and we come to Him. And then not only having loved His own, and here's where they were. This is an amazing thing. Which were in the world. Here we are in the world, yet having loved His own. And it says He loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. Oh, how the good shepherd here loved and cared for His sheep. But when He says He loved them unto the end of what? Unto the end of what? Well, unto the end of life on earth. You know, all of us got to leave here one of these days. And why He says here, having loved them unto the end, you and I, we need assurance that Christ's going to love us to the end of the earth while we're here on this earth. And why that is, beloved, is because of who we are and where we are. I need the assurance that Christ's going to love me to the end. I need assurance, and that's why our Lord said this. Having loved His own, He loved them unto the end of their life on this earth. And we're in the world. And when we see Him face to face, we won't need this assurance anymore. We won't need it. But while we're here, when we stumble, when we fall, when we go where we ought not go and do what we ought not do and act the way we ought not act and we feel like that, how could God love me? But having loved His own, He'll love you right to the very last day on this earth. And He says that to you to give you assurance of it, to give you the comfort of it, assurance that He'll never stop loving you, And this idea that Jesus loves, you see it all the time, Jesus loves you. I can say that emphatically to those whom He died for. He loved you, having loved His own. He'll love you all the days you are on this earth. There'll be days when you won't even hardly think of His name, but He'll love you. There'll be days when you'll be in places and you go to bed that night and say, why in the world did I go there? Why did I do that? He'll love you. And when it gets so dark and sickness is all over you and you think your wife's going to leave this world and you think, whoa, my, how are we going to bear it? He'll love you unto the end of this earth. And then you won't have that assurance. You don't need that assurance of Him loving you to the end. You know why? Because then you'll see Him face to face. You won't need faith anymore. Oh, that's why our Lord said in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And ain't this the way it is, Alan? I'll never, no never, no never, no never, no never leave you, forsake you. 5 no nevers in that one little verse. That's pretty good assurance. You know, it's like Simon Peter. After he had denied the Lord and went back fishing, our Savior, when he resurrected, He met Mary. And He told Mary, He said, you go tell my brethren and Simon, I go before them. Oh, if Simon thought, boy, Christ, he's done forgotten me. He ain't going to have a thing in the world to do with me anymore, Jesus said. He said, go tell my brethren, and I want Simon to know for sure. I'm going to see him when I get over in Galilee. I'll be over there waiting on him. Huh? They're out fishing. And they're on that boat. And when they went back fishing, that's not like me and you going fishing. That's them fellas going back to their old way of life. Hanging up their profession. And they get on their boats and they go back to making a living fishing again. They're not going to preach anymore. They're not going to confess Christ anymore. And while they're doing that, they're out there on that boat. Our Savior sets and builds him a fire. And he puts him some fish on the fire and some bread on the fire. And he hollers out, children! Oh, having loved his own. You just say, hey, anybody, everybody. No, hey, children. You got any meat? No. Caught any fish? No. they saw that fire, they saw that fish, and old John poked Simon Peter in the rib and said, Simon, it's the Lord. That's the Lord. Oh, Simon, he couldn't wait for the boat to get there. He grabbed his coat around him and jumped in that water and went to swimming. Why? Because he knew, having loved his own, he'd love him to the end. So he didn't look for the assurance in himself that Christ would love him. He looked to Christ and his word. Huh? And then it says, unto the end of what? The end of life on this earth. And secondly, unto the end, or the farthest extent of your need of Him and His grace. He'll love you. He loves His own unto the farthest extent of their need of Him and His grace. How far, how great is your need of Him? How, sometimes you have a more conscious need of Him than you do at other times. Huh? But how far will we fall? He'll love you to that. How far will we stray? How bad will we fail? How far does our need extend to? How far does our need, how far does it go? How deep does it go? How far does it stretch out? Ever how far it is, He'll love us to the end of that need. Ah. Philip would misunderstand him when our Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Philip said, well, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient. Our Lord knew that Philip would misunderstand him. And just this very night, three, James, John, and Peter would go with him into the garden, and he'd say, watch for me for 1 hour. 1 hour. While I go yonder and pray. And he knew before he went into that garden that those three would go to sleep. And he'd go over and agonize in prayer till his sweat became as great drops of blood. But having loved his own, they had a need that they didn't even know they had. But he loved them to their need, extended their need. And he knew that Peter would deny him. He told him in John 13 here, he said, Simon Peter, I'm going someplace you can't go. Why can't we go, Lord? He said, I got to go by myself here. He said, I'll go with you even unto death. And he said, Peter, you'll deny me three times. Three times. But having loved him, he loved him unto the end. Thomas, going to doubt him. All would forsake him and fled. Yet, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Loved them unto the end. What's the extent of your need? What's the extent of your need? I need thee every hour. Oh, Ed Elmore, he'd been gone now. It'd be 5 years, December the 18th. We sung that song one time. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. He had said after we sung that song, he said, I need him more than every hour. I need him every moment. Every moment. No, what's the extent of your need? Whatever it is, He'll love you. He'll love you. And I tell you, you know, when you don't know your need, like those fellas sleeping, Simon Peter betraying him. Bad enough to be betrayed once. Bad enough to be betrayed twice. But to do it three times in a row, having loved his own, he loved him to the end. And oh, unto the end of our failures, unto the end of our wanderings, having loved his own, his love no end or measure knows. No change can turn its course. Eternally the same it flows from one eternal source. Here we have our Lord Jesus with the cross before him. His hour has come. And we also have him with the joy of returning unto the Father. He, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He's got this cross, this hour before him. He's got this joy of returning unto the Father with all that upon him. Yet, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. And what he did there for them, that's the way he is towards me, and you. And here's the thing about our Savior's love. His love never varies. He's not like us. He's not like us, get upset with one another and pout with one another, not speak to one another. You know, husbands and wives even do that, you know. They get aggravated with one another and go around the house all day, won't hardly ever speak to one another. Their love varies, you know, up and down. But his love never varies. It's always the same. It don't. When we're doing real good, it don't go up. When we're doing real bad, it goes down. It's constant. It don't change like we do. You see, since our Lord Jesus is eternal, then his love for us is eternal. And since he's God, his love passes human knowledge. And beloved, if you and I could see into each other's hearts, if I could look into your heart and you could look into mine right now, or at any given time, you and I would refuse to have anything to do with one another. But God does. He looks into our heart and sees exactly what's in our heart. And you know what? He still loves us. He loves us perfectly, loves us completely, loves us fully, loves us freely. So how powerful is the grace of God? And how wonderful is his love? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Our Father, our gracious God in heaven, thank you for allowing us this wonderful privilege, blessed privilege, to meet with the saints of God here, to meet with these dear people of God. Do bless and strengthen and encourage and uphold and direct and preserve these dear saints of God. And as Brother Chris comes and starts a new ministry, starts a new life, and these dear saints have the new pastor, God bless their union and their communion and their fellowship and their unity, and give him messages that will feed and encourage and edify and build and establish the dear saints of God. And dear Lord, and bless these dear saints to love and support and pray for and strengthen and speak words of encouragement to Brother Chris and his family. Lord, make them as one. Make them with one goal, one aim, one desire, one purpose. And that's to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel of the grace of God in all of its purity and power and preciousness. And oh, Father, thank you for these dear saints. Thank you for this wonderful gospel you give us to preach. Oh, Lord, reach your loving, gracious, powerful arms around us all. And make us all one in Christ. Make us to abound in love and to increase in the knowledge of God our Savior. Make us a thankful, gracious, loving, tender, forgiving God-honoring, Christ-honoring people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, I've really enjoyed it. Appreciate you so much letting me come down. And I hope it won't be as long before I see you again.